These are excerpts from letters from Eliza Lucas, who was an English-born girl. She was born in the Caribbean, and as a young woman, she ran her family's estates in South Carolina. Eliza is credited with introducing indigo growing to the region, and she later became the wife of Charles Pinckney, the Chief Justice of South Carolina. The first one begins, WAPO, June 7th, 1741. I am engaged now with the rudiments of law, to which I am but a stranger. And what adds to my mortification is that Dr. Wood wants, that is lacks, the politeness of your uncle, who with a graceful ease and good nature peculiar to himself, is always ready to instruct the ignorant. However, I hope in a short time we shall be better friends, nor shall I grudge a little pains and application that will make me useful to my poor neighbors. We have some in this neighborhood who have a little land and a few slaves and cattle to give to their children that never think of making a will till they come upon a sickbed and find it too expensive to send to town for a lawyer. If you will not laugh too immoderately at me, I'll trust you with a secret. I have made two wills already. I know I have done no harm, for I conned, that is understood, my lesson very perfect, and know how to convey by will estates real and personal, and never forget in its proper place him and his heirs forever, nor that 'tis to be signed by three witnesses in presence of one another. But the most comfortable remembrance of all is that Dr. Wood says the law makes great allowance for last wills and testaments, presuming the testator could not have counsel learned in the law. But after all, what can I do if a poor creature lies dying and the family takes it into their heart that I can serve them? I cannot refuse. But when they are well and able to employ a lawyer, I always shall. A widow hereabouts with a pretty little fortune teased me intolerably to draw her a marriage settlement, but it was out of my depth, and I absolutely refused it. I shall begin to think myself an old woman before I am a young one, having such weighty affairs upon my hands. September 20th, 1741. Wrote to my father on plantation business, and concerning a planter's importing Negroes for his own use. Also informed my father of the alteration 'tis supposed there will be in the value of our money, occasioned by a late act of Parliament that extends to all America, which is to dissolve all private banks, I think by the 30th of last month, or be liable to lose their estates and put themselves out of the king's protection. Informed him of the tyrannical government at Georgia. October 29th, 1741. Wrote to my father, acknowledging the receipt of a piece of rich yellow lustring, that is a glossy silk, consisting of 19 yards for myself, ditto of blue for my mama, also for a piece of Holland and cambric received from London at the same time. Tell him we have had a moderate and healthy summer and preparing for the king's birthday next day. Tell him shall send the rice by Bullard. November 11th, 1741. Wrote to Mr. Murray to send down a boat of white oak staves, bacon, and salted beef for the West Indies. Sent up at the same time a barrel salt, half weight saltpeter, some brown sugar for the bacon, vinegar, and a couple of bottles wine for Mrs. Murray, and desire he will send down all the butter and hog's lard. January 1742. Returned my father thanks for a present I received from him by Captain Sutherland of 20 pistols and for the sweetmeats by Captain Gregory. Shall send the preserved fruit as they come in season. Begged the favor of him to send to England for Dr. Popash's cantatas, Wilden's anthems, Kneller's rules for tuning about the Jerusalem thorn. Shall try different soils for the lucerne grass, that is alfalfa, this year. The ginger turns out but poorly. We want a supply of indigo seed. sent by this vessel a waiter of my own Japanning, that is, lacquering, my first essay, that is, attempt. Sent also the rice and beef. Sent Governor Thomas of Philadelphia's daughter a tea chest of my own doing. Also, congratulate my father on my brother's recovery from the smallpox. February 6th, 1742. I received yesterday the favor of your advice as a physician, and want no arguments to convince me I should be much better for both my good friend's company. A much pleasanter prescription than Dr. Mead's, which I have just received. To follow my inclination at this time, I must endeavor to forget that I have a sister to instruct and a parcel of little Negroes whom I have undertaken to teach to read. I am a very dunce, for I have not acquired the writing shorthand yet with any degree of swiftness. But I am not always so, for I give a very good proof of the brightness of my genius when I can distinguish well enough to subscribe myself with great esteem, sir, your most obedient humble servant, Eliza Lucas. May 22nd, 1742. I am now set down, my dear brother, to obey your commands and give you a short description of the part of the world I now inhabit. South Carolina, then, is an extensive country near the sea. Most of the settled part of it is upon a flat. The soil near Charlestown, sandy, but further distant, clay and swamplands. It abounds with fine navigable rivers and great quantities of fine timber. The country at a great distance, that is to say, about 150 miles from Charlestown, very hilly. The soil, in general, very fertile, and there are few European or American fruits or grain but what grow here. The country abounds with wild fowl, venison, and fish. Beef, veal, and mutton are here in much greater perfection than in the islands, though not equal to that of England. Fruit extremely good and in profusion, and the oranges exceed any I ever tasted in the West Indies or from Spain or Portugal. The people in general hospitable and honest, and the better sort add to these a polite, genteel behavior. The poorer sort are the most indolent people in the world, or they would never be wretched in so plentiful a country as this. The winters here are fine and pleasant, but 4 months in the year are extremely disagreeable. Excessive hot, much thunder and lightning, and mosquitoes and sandflies in abundance. Charlestown, the metropolis, is a neat, pretty place. The inhabitants polite and live a very genteel manner. The streets and houses are regularly built, the ladies and gentlemen gay in their dress. Upon the whole, you will find as many agreeable people of both sexes for the size of the place as almost anywhere. St. Philip's Church in Charlestown is a very elegant one and much frequented. There are several more places of public worship in the town, and the generality of the people of a religious turn of mind. I began in haste and have observed no method, or I should have told you before I came to summer that we have the most charming spring in this country, especially for those who travel through the country, for the scent of the young myrtle and yellow jasmine with which the woods abound is delightful. The staple commodity here is rice, and the only thing they export to Europe. Beef, pork, and lumber they send to the West Indies. September 8, 1742. Wrote to Miss Mary Fayweather in Boston. The same time wrote my father a full and long account of 5,000 Spaniards landing at St. Simon's. We were greatly alarmed in Carolina, 80 prisoners now in Charlestown. They had a large fleet, but were scattered by bad weather. Our little fleet from Carolina, commanded by Captain Hardy, could not get to the general's assistance. The enemy were sailed to St. Mark's. 'Tis said Captain Hardy, instead of cruising off St. Augustine Bar, where it was probable he would find them, returned with all men to Charlestown, which has greatly disgusted the governor and council, as well as the rest of the inhabitants. there is sent now 3 men of war and 4 provincial vessels under the command of Captain Franklin. Sent my father his kettle drums, informed him of Mr. Smith selling the rum he sent us and giving away the preserved sorrel, though he assured us it was by mistake put on board a vessel going to Barbados and carried there. Sad wretch. Sent for cucumber seed. Polly has gone to school at Mrs. Hicks at £140 per annum. So those are some excerpts from the letters of Eliza Lucas in 1741 and 1742.